Luke chapter 19, verse 1 to 10. Bible reads, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be with the guest of to be a guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I'll pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. This is the word of the Lord. Let's just pray together. Father, we thank you and we bless your holy name once again for the reading of Scripture. We submit ourselves to the authority and power of this Scripture. And standing in your grace, O God, I pray that you may grant to me prophetic utterance to speak this word faithfully as your servant. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may take your seats. The mission of Jesus in his own words. When I was asked to speak on this topic, I got very excited. Because when you talk about the mission of Jesus, that's my drive, that's my cry, that's my passion, and that's my breath. The mission of Jesus. And each one of us have been called to fulfill the mission of Jesus. Did you know that actually all of you are ministers in the mission of Jesus? So the moment you said yes to Jesus, he enlisted you to be part of this mission. Jesus is actively working through his church and in his church to fulfill his mission. He is actively working even among us. It may look like Jesus is not working. He is actually working in our lives and in our hearts. So the church that embraces Jesus' mission will experience transformation. Wait until you embrace the mission of Jesus, then you begin to see even the culture of this church beginning to change. Many things that are happening worldwide where believers have embraced the mission of Jesus and taking it away from the textbook and let it, you know, become a day-to-day reality in your life. I know this church is well-placed and well-blessed to be a little bit, theological, with lots of students coming here, and you have about five theological institutions in this city alone, if not more. And this church might have many of us that have a lot of theological understanding of what the mission of Jesus is. But I want to encourage you in this message today to take it away from the textbook and from any papers you have written and take it to where it is needed. I know I wrote a paper myself on the mission of Jesus when I was studying at Regent, but it's one thing to write a paper, it's another thing to take the love of Jesus to where it is needed. So God is calling us to take this mission with us and infuse it with our passion and our calling and take it to where it is needed. Let us be preoccupied with Jesus' missional agenda to preach the gospel all over the world. By God's grace, now I've been to a number of countries where the Lord has opened doors for me to take this mission all over the world, to within Africa itself, South Africa, Uganda, United Kingdom, Germany, and here, and also the United States of America. And you can see the need of people to receive the mission of Jesus. You may look at people and think they are content with what they have. No, people have needs in their hearts. People are suffering rejection. People are suffering condemnation. People are sick in body and in mind. They are looking for the love of Jesus. And this love of Jesus is in each and every one of us this morning. So God is calling you. Will you answer the call to be part of the mission of Jesus? So to seek and save the lost was and is still Jesus' missional agenda. In Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 16, which I want us to read in a moment, if we can go there, God was speaking through the prophet Ezekiel that I'll search for the lost and bring back the strays. I'll bind up the injured and strengthen the weak, but the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I'll shepherd the flock with justice. So this is God's heartbeat. Mission belongs to the heart of God, and it comes from the heart of God, where God, you know, reaches out to sinners like you and I. God reaches out, he offers his hospitality to his enemies, and he extends peace towards them that they might come to the hospitality table of the Lord. So God is happy and excited about this mission. The context of the scripture we have just read, Jesus is on the move. And is on the move going to Jerusalem. And the culmination of this mission would soon come on the cross of Calvary. And he begins to tell the disciples in chapter 18, verse 31 to 34, if we can go there. He begins to tell the disciples, Jesus took the 12 aside and told them, we are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. He will be delivered over to the Gentiles. They will mock him, insult him, and spit on him. They will flog him and kill him. On the third day, he will rise again. The disciples did not understand any of this. Its meaning was hidden from them, and they did not know what he was talking about. So Jesus is on his way to go and conclude his mission on the cross of Calvary. This mission, it cost his life. But in costing his life, it was accomplishing what it was intended to do, to give us life and to give life to the dying world. And on his way to the cross, he's still involved in intentional activities of his mission. And when he comes through to Jericho, the Bible says a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening. They told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. He called out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. When he came near, Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for you? Lord, I want to see, he replied. I wonder how many people are crying in this church, crying, Jesus, I want to be healed. Jesus, I want to see. Jesus, I want to be set free. I wonder how many people are crying in your neighborhood. Jesus, I want to be accepted. Jesus, I want to be forgiven. I wonder how many people are crying at your workplaces, crying for acceptance, crying for forgiveness, and then we are keeping them quiet. We're telling them to be quiet. We want to go on with our own religious activities and ignore the needs around us. There are people that are crying around us, crying for Jesus to touch them with his love. But there are ways in which we try to cut people away from receiving the mission of Jesus. The disciples that were moving along with Jesus, they felt it was a cool entourage and they couldn't allow any disturbance. They believed Jesus was busy. They believed Jesus was a very important man and he didn't need to be disturbed on his mission. Therefore, they did not allow this blind man to interject the mission of Jesus. Jesus stops and says, actually, I can let all of you go. I came for this one. I came for this one. A few Sundays ago in our church when I was preaching, I kind of sensed in my spirit that there were people crying for God's love. There were people crying for healing. There are people crying for breakthroughs in their lives. There were people crying for God to come through. They needed to see the transforming power of God's word. So I made an altar call. I called people to come forward and receive their healing. And about 30 people lined up in front. And I prayed for them. And I sensed in my spirit that two people had received their healing. And I asked them, which ones? And I saw one man lift up his hand. He's a medical doctor from Congo, works in our country, a member of our church. He had received his healing. I walked over to him to find out what it was that was bothering him before. He said he had broken his back while doing karate, and he had gone to India for medical attention. The pain was still there. He went to different hospitals, and he's a doctor himself. But that particular Sunday, 3 Sundays ago, he received the touch of the power of God in his back, and God healed him. I told him to examine himself. He had to bend, stretch himself, and the wife came running over to him to embrace him and receive him. He cried to Jesus that morning, and Jesus touched him. The next day, I received a text message from the second person I felt had received the touch from God. And I want to read this message here, the way this person wrote it. Because she didn't receive the healing immediately there. She didn't have a physical evidence of it. But this particular morning, it was Sunday evening, she sends this message. Pastor, good morning. I have a testimony. I got healed from my backache in yesterday's service. Thank you, Jesus, she exclaims. At the peaceful night, I still feel very okay, no pain at all. What had happened to this lady? This lady underwent 3 surgeries when she was delivering her last child, and that affected her back. She couldn't bend. She couldn't do laundry while bending. She had to put the clothes, the dish on a platform where she could stand up straight. But when she got home, something clicked. She felt she was healed. And she began to bend and did things that she had never done before. That's when she received the healing. This is what Jesus has done for you and I in his mission. His mission is to seek that which is lost, is to bind the brokenhearted, to heal the sick. It is to strengthen the struggling, is to bring in the rejected. So Jesus was actively involved in his mission. Now, what am I saying here? Yes. Somebody must have listened to my sermons before. I'm saying that believers are called upon to embrace the mission of Jesus. He's calling you to embrace this mission. This is the only, the only focus that the church should be preoccupied with. And the mission of Jesus will impact those who long and wait for him when they genuinely exhibit an accommodating disposition towards his loving outreach or outreach of love. The outreach of love encompasses many intentional steps that Jesus, took and is still taking towards the lost world. And God is calling us to take some intentional steps in our lives. Number one, how should we be disposed, towards Jesus' mission? We must desire to encounter Jesus. We must desire to encounter Jesus. Zacchaeus knew about Jesus, and he had desired to meet him, but actually he was an outlaw. He was a person who was an outsider. He heard about him. He heard about a lot of things that Jesus was doing, but he had no opportunity to get to Jesus. On this particular day, he hears Jesus is passing by. I suppose he left his office to try and see Jesus. But then he was hindered by 2 scenarios. First, he was too short to see Jesus. The crowd was moving around and he couldn't see Jesus. Secondly, he was of a wrong status. He was a sinner. He was a tax collector. He colluded with the Romans to tax the Jews, and beyond that, he was a greedy person. He got more money than what he was supposed to take. So all these aspects, they hindered him from getting close to Jesus. And in fact, if you got close to a Jewish person or even a Pharisee, that Pharisee would become unclean. And I think no Pharisee would want to be near Zacchaeus. They wanted to be clean. They wanted to keep to their status quo, to their religious, self-righteous, holier than thou status quo. Now we see that Zacchaeus was determined to shake off all prejudice in order to meet Jesus. He didn't care the perceptions of people concerning him. What he cared about was to meet Jesus. Deeply in his heart, he could not handle the rejection. He could not handle the stigma. So he was longing to meet Jesus, so that Jesus, he heard Jesus was cleansing lepers. If Jesus cleansed lepers, what about his sin? His sin could easily be cleansed by Jesus. Dear friends, we should all overcome all prejudice and all categories that people have categorized us in. We must overcome those and reach out to Jesus. Forget about what somebody said about you or against you that offended you and took you away from Jesus. Remember that Jesus is seeking for you. Jesus' heart is towards you, and Jesus' love is for you. You must desire to encounter Jesus. In our church last month, we took a step and went to a place where most preachers wouldn't even really dare to go or desire to go and preach the gospel, because modern preachers today, they want to preach in places where they will collect a comfortable offering or tithes. So we gathered resources in our church, 22 people plus myself, 23. We went over 1,000 kilometers away to a village where I was born and grew up as a teenager to go and preach the gospel. We camped there for 7 days. And we took in generators and generated our own electricity, took our own food and all the resources we took to that place. And people began to come in their hundreds in the evenings to hear the gospel. Just watch a short clip on one of the altar calls when they were giving their life to the Lord. And by God's grace, I was able to preach in the native language. Zambia has 73 different languages, English being the local language, but I was able to speak in my mother tongue and preach the gospel there. So this is one of the intentional steps that our church took to take out mission to areas that are unreached and where great needs in that place. And you can look at the lives of the people that came on this mission, how transformed they are. One particular young man, she in the church where I sent them to different churches on a Sunday, he prayed for this lady who had been under torment by demonic forces, and this lady got healed. The young man began to cry. Why? Because the grace of God used him for the first time. So God is no respecter of persons. He's going to use you. What he wants you to do is to step out. Step out and desire to encounter Jesus. When you encounter Jesus, he changes your life. He gives you new life. He also changes your perspective, and he enlists you in his mission. And then secondly, you need to respond to the call of Jesus. When Jesus calls you, as he called Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus responded joyfully. So Jesus' love reaches out to the marginalized. Zacchaeus was marginalized, but the love of Jesus dissolved all his prejudice. The love of Jesus dissolved all his stigma. The love of Jesus melted and cleansed all his sin. Whatever sin Zacchaeus had, the love of Jesus confronted it and healed that sin. Now, Zacchaeus was not a person you would want to sit next to. I wonder if there are certain categories of people in this community, if they came to church here, whether you would sit next to them. Would you sit next to them? I think you might change your seat. You may want to find another church. Because there are people that may be outlaws and they come into God's hospitality. What are you going to do with them? But I want to assure you that whoever they may be, when they are impacted by the love of God, God transforms them and he begins to work in their lives. So the sinners, the stigmatized and undesirables respond passionately to the loving outreach of God. He who is forgiven much, they love much. You should have seen the joy of Zacchaeus. The Bible says he came down joyfully, gladly, ran to his home, put his family to work, cooked a meal for Jesus' entourage, and they rejoiced in that day. I tell you, when we went to this mission in my village back home, when these people gave their lives to the Lord in numbers, set free some of them from ancestral worship, and some of them surrendering the charms that they used, you can see the joy in their dancing, praise, and celebration. And this has brought a new culture in our church where members of the church now believe that God can work through their lives. Apart from what I've told you, the stories that I've told you and what God has been able to do to use me, he's using many more ordinary church members in the church. In fact, I do very little of it. They are the ones prophesying. They are the ones laying their hands on the sick. They are the ones going out and, you know, touching lives of people in the community. And God is transforming communities around us. Thirdly, be ready to change. When Jesus gets into Zacchaeus' house, and when he gets into Zacchaeus' house and all the tax collectors gather in there, and the religious people are mad. How can he eat with sinners? How can he eat with sinners? Dear friends, you need to embrace the love of God, and in that love is engraved his mission, and his mission is towards the very people we abhor in our society, the very people we hate in our society. Because of the love of God, Zacchaeus is convicted. He can no longer be the same Zacchaeus. Immediately, he confesses. There's a change of heart which proves his actions. He says, Jesus, I am giving half my possessions to the poor. Jesus, I am giving as restitution 4 times more than I stole. And that's what the love of God does. You may be saying, Pastor, it's very dangerous to be so accommodating and bring people in the mission of God. Well, Jesus has already borne that danger. He lost his life. Through his hospitality, he lost his life so that I may gain my life. So positive character change will accompany through repentance. So when you are confronted with the mission of Jesus, there's going to be positive character change in your life. You no longer be the same because the love of God has touched your life. A changed life becomes charitable towards Jesus' mission. Immediately, Zacchaeus decides to participate in the mission of Jesus, and he sends his resources to the poor. When we went into this mission, the area that I've talked about, there are some that didn't come, but they sent resources to those people so that they were able to see and experience the love of God, not only through the preaching of the word, but through the deeds as well. We are going back to that mission next year to go and stay much longer, and after we have preached, we'll be able to disciple and baptize those people. In our church this year, I've been celebrating 20 years of my being in ministry, Catherine and I doing ministry in that church, and we had a conference in April. Now, God spoke to me and said, this is not about you. This is about me. Why don't you celebrate this with all the neighbors where your church is founded? So we wrote invitation letters, over 500 letters, and we went door by door, placing those letters into the hands of the actual residents of those homes. Now, these are homes that are barricaded with wall fences, with high gates and big dogs. So we had to knock. And I gave instructions, don't give to a gardener, don't give to a housekeeper, just give directly to the owner of the house. And I invited them to God's hospitality to come and celebrate with us the 20 years and to appreciate them for accommodating us in the community. As a church in the community, we have allowed the community to use our church hall for weddings, for funerals, and they have used it, or the government also has used it for medical inoculations, and they come to use that. So we detailed all this, and we appreciated the community, and we told them, we are here for you. Over 250 people turned up on that Sunday in the second service, nearly 300, and then we gave them a luncheon at the end of that. 50 people gave their life to the Lord, and they are still with us. Intentional mission. That's just a quarter of the people that turned up. I think there is three other rows on the right there. So normally, there would be half of the section you see on my left. But this time, it was more people that came, new people that had never come to our church before. And we invited them to the mission of Jesus. Being intentional. One of the other things that we did as we celebrate our 20 years is to adopt a children's ward at the biggest hospital in Zambia. And in this ward, we bought heaters for the children, we bought a fridge, and we are beginning to cook meals for the mothers and children once a month to go and feed them and pray with the children. We are allowed to do that in Zambia. You visit, you pray with them, we encourage them. And we have also been asked to renovate the ward, put a new roof and the ceiling. The mission of Jesus moves on. For as long as the church sits boxed up in the four corners of buildings like this, the mission of Jesus will be static. But let's be on the move and connect with the community around us and let the mission of Jesus move. Is somebody hearing God's word? Say amen if you are hearing God's word. Dear friends, the core of our mission as a church should be the same as Jesus. It should be Jesus' very mission to seek and save the lost. What are we here for? To seek and save the lost. Where are the lost? Some may be among us, and others are in our neighborhoods. Others are at our workplaces and many other places of the world. We need to go out, seek them out, and bring them to the love of God. It is not an easy mission. Many times we've had robberies in our church because we bring strange people. As I told you, Jesus already suffered that. He suffered that. So let us take intentional missional steps to reach out to the marginalized people around us, whoever they may be and wherever they may be. God's glorious power through signs and wonders accompanies believers in mission. Let's not just muse how wonderful it would be to see a miracle in church. No, miracles, signs and wonders will accompany those that put the mission of Jesus on its feet. Then wherever you go to proclaim the mission of Jesus, God's glory will accompany you.